Hi folks, Paddy here. Thank you once again, and as always, for downloading the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with ME and a mic, and that's me, Paddy. It is not all about me this week, as I was delighted to have a good little chat last week with a poet and writer and French resident, Rose Le Marchand, also known as the French Femme, whenever she writes. And we've been meaning to have a chat for quite a while, so it was great to be able to actually get round and have a good little... Not get round, I didn't physically travel to France to record this. That would have been a little bit much, probably, for me with ME, which has kind of kicked my rear recently. It's been like one of those weeks, months probably, where I just haven't got started. Do you know those months, those weeks, those days, whenever you're just, you know, you just think, I think I need to reset and write this one off, but then it becomes a few days, and that becomes a week, and that becomes a month. And even I've worked hard to eliminate hard work, I suppose, is a way of putting it. I have so few responsibilities anymore. I've got rid of most of them. To be honest, this show is probably the only major responsibility I have in my life. And it's, you know, I know you guys don't mind if I take a week off here or there or all the time. News on that coming up at the outro. So stay tuned to the end about some news about the show. But, you know, this is probably the only responsibility. But even despite that, having removed the responsibility or requirement to do anything really within any kind of set time frame, I've removed that pretty much all from my life at the moment. And I still have days and weeks and months where I just think I probably need to do this over or reset because this has gone nowhere. And it's been a kind of a month like that. But despite that, as I said, I can gratefully say that I sat down and turned the microphone on and had a good little chat with Rose Le Marchand, who's, you will hear, whose poetry is informed, inspired by her ME. And we had a good wee chat. I really enjoyed that. More chats coming up in the very near future. Again, stay tuned at the end and I'll chat about that. But I don't think I'll spend too much time. I didn't know if I'd even have the energy to do this intro today, but thinking back to my show I did, what, two episodes ago about ME, CFS and weight gain, I ate like five packets of Tato's potato crisps there. If you're Irish or you have Irish friends, you're probably aware of Tato's being the greatest potato chip in the world. And I had like five of those. So I think I've got a sudden but very limited burst of energy. So I'm using it to record the intro and the outro to this show and finish editing so I can get it out on time. So yeah, I hope you're all really well. I want to say a quick thank you to everybody who... It's really nice. Whenever I'm not feeling well, wherever I've had the month that I've had recently, where even though I took a month off from the show and then came back with a couple of shows, I didn't really feel that rested. So I haven't been as present on social media as I might like to be, which means I'm not promoting the show that much. I'm not kind of putting it out there. And you know, you'll hear in this chat coming up about Roz talking about representing people who can't represent themselves at present due to their illness. And I kind of think in a small and hopefully humble way that this show does the same, that it raises awareness. So it kind of annoys me whenever I'm not capable of maintaining the necessary momentum to keep this show kind of in people's consciousness or to introduce it to new people. So I'm really grateful to folks out there who are sharing this show. It really tickles me. It really makes me feel really nice and warm inside whenever I'm lying on the sofa because I'm not feeling that well. And I get a alert on my phone saying that somebody has shared, someone I don't know has shared this show on Facebook or has commented on it or, you know, shared it on Twitter. And I really do massively appreciate that. I really do. So thank you to anybody who has shared this in the past. And thank you in advance if you enjoy it and you feel like sharing it in the future. I'm really grateful. That's really super kind of you, because I can't always do that. And that's really nice that people pick up the baton whenever I'm not in a position to carry it at that present time. So, Rosalind Lamarchand, our guest this week. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. She's a fabulous poet and an all-around nice person. And our chat began with Roz opening with one of her poems. So have a listen to our little chat, and then I'll see you at the end for a little update on the show. For now, enjoy the chat with the French Femme.
Okay, I'll start by saying hello, Paddy, and thank you very much for inviting me to talk to you today. I'm going to start with a poem that really is about how I first became ill and what happened to me, how it all started, basically. And the title of the poem is called How It Started. It started like the flu, but never went away. I wanted to sleep, not just at night, but by day. Yet I still felt tired, despite all that sleep. Energy was all gone, and I felt very weak. My throat was very sore, and my glands seemed to swell. There was pain in my legs, and I felt so unwell. A fog came in my head. Everything spun around. It became hard to think, and words could not be found. Yet since then, I've suffered more symptoms that I knew. I think that it was more than the worst case of flu. It started like the flu that never went away. I still have most symptoms and suffer to this day.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the show, Roz Lamarchand.
Yeah, thank you, Paddy.
You're very welcome. That was a great place to start. I think even as an introduction to this illness that we have, that sums it up really well, I think, as do a lot of your poems, which I think we'll probably spend quite a lot of time talking about today. But why did you choose that particular one to share with us to start the conversation?
Because often when people ask me about my illness, I find the easiest way to explain is to say that it started like the flu, because basically that's what I thought I had until I found out later that it wasn't. And so I wanted to start from the beginning, from where I first became ill, and I tried to express that in a poem as simply as possible about how I felt at the time. I first became ill in June 2002, and it took over a year before I was given a diagnosis. And in that time, I went through a very difficult period. The doctor just said it was the flu, but it didn't feel like it went away. So that poem really tries to sum up how I felt in those first months.
And I got lots of identification from it. I really did. I think many people will. Going back to 2002 then, what was the diagnosis that you received back then, whenever you finally did, after a year, get a diagnosis?
Finally, my doctor referred me to a hospital, and the nearest thing to specialist at that time in 2003, I did all the tests. They checked for everything. Everything came back perfect, nothing wrong. They looked at my symptoms, my history, and they said to me, well, at that time, time they started to call it chronic fatigue syndrome. He said, "You've got chronic fatigue syndrome." And I said, "Well, what can I do about it?" And the only advice that was offered was to follow a graded exercise program and go away and rest. And I tried to do the graded exercise and very soon realized that was a big mistake and stopped because I was just making myself worse. So, yeah, but then I, after having that diagnosis, of course, there's always some a certain amount of relief. You know you're not going crazy. You're not imagining it. There is something wrong with you.
Yeah.
But I still didn't know very much about this illness. So from that time, I started to read and try and learn as much as I could. But back in 2003, I didn't have the internet. I didn't have Facebook and things like that. So I just, read as much as I could from books that I found in the library or that I was able to purchase. And I found that more about the name of the illness and how the history behind it and how it was actually, the original name was myalgic encephalomyelitis, was classified by WHO. And I do hate that name, chronic fatigue syndrome. And I do feel that I myself fit into the international consensus criteria for ME. And so I prefer to use ME. I know there's a lot of controversy over the name and the history of it. I don't really want to go into all that at this time.
No probs. That is a question I ask every guest is what do you call your illness? So that is interesting that you call ME. Pretty, I think everybody who's been on the show calls their illness ME. But yes, I know there's debate, discussion and tension over all that, which yeah, I'm happy to not, we don't have to deal with that every time. You know, there's enough.
It does cause more arguments and it's not very helpful really.
Yes, I concur. I really do. You'd mentioned the history there. Now, one thing that I didn't know until about 10 minutes before we started talking was I was reading the introduction of your book of poetry, 31 Days in May.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there that Florence Nightingale had chronic fatigue syndrome /ME.
It's believed that she had, yeah.
That's fascinating. I never knew that.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why that the 12th of May, I believe, was picked as the International Awareness Day. I think that, if I remember, if I recall rightly, that's her birthday.
Yes.
So it's one of these the good examples from history. People often quote.
Yeah, that was, absolutely fascinating to me. So what happened to you then whenever you had your diagnosis in 2003 and you went away and you, because I can really identify with the relief of getting a diagnosis. I was ill for a very long time. And as you say, all the tests, everything else says you're actually in really good health, but you know you're not. And then you get that diagnosis. And it's such a relief. I remember reading a letter that arrived from the doctor telling me what I had after all these years. And then, the obvious question is, all right, brilliant. What do I do next? How do we get rid of this? And you were told graded exercise therapy and rest. That didn't work for you. Not really surprisingly, I think we can say in this day and age.
Yeah.
So what happened next then?
I'm a sort of person that doesn't give in easily, that fights and won't give up. And I had a long time off work on sick pay, Eventually, I realised that I couldn't go back to the job that I had at the time. It was just totally impractical because I had to commute every day as well. So it was just too much for me, and I decided to. I handed in my notice, and I thought, okay, I've had a long rest. I'll try and see if I can try some other work closer to home. And in the following year, I did a bit of temporary work. But every time I started to work, I became ill again. I would have lots of infections, and I just was so exhausted all the time. And in the end, it's a very difficult decision to make, and a lot of people have to make this decision. At what point do you accept that you can't work, that you have to give up, that you have to change your life? Particularly if you're like myself, I was a single mum, the house, the mortgage, a full-time job. You know, it's a very difficult decision to make, but one in the end I had to make because I knew that I couldn't continue working. This illness was not going away. Every time I tried, I just felt like I was making myself worse. So I think the last time I worked in 2014, I think thereabouts.
It's a heartbreaking decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can identify with that. I really can. Much like you, I'm a fighter. I'm stubborn. I'm proud as well. And the realization, the acceptance. I think the acceptance is one thing. Is that okay? This is as a previous guest pointed out, and I mentioned it in the last episode as well. The C of chronic fatigue syndrome, the chronic bit. You know, is the bit that I don't think sinks in immediately. It didn't for me.
No,
and
absolutely.
You know.
You think this is just a temporary thing.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to get better. At the beginning, you can't envisage that this illness will take over your life and that your life will have to change and nothing will stay as well. Some things stay the same, but a lot has to change, and it's very hard to accept. And one of my poems is about it, which I will read out later.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I can always do if I'm a reminder of acceptance.
Yeah, I was also very angry in the first year or so, I believe. I was very angry. Didn't want to accept that this was happening to me. It didn't seem possible. Sometimes I get frustrated and angry, but not as much as I did in those early years.
Yeah, again, I can really identify with you there. I think I spent a very long time kind of almost just being so resentful over how unfair it seemed, that very, very arrogantly, very full of self-pity, but just kind of saying, you know, why did this happen to me? Because, you know, I was going places, you know, you know, I was going to change the world. And now this has happened to me. Why couldn't this happen to somebody else? You know, full of anger and self-pity, I think. You know, still capable of that. Do you, you know, we're talking about acceptance. I think I try and find ways to almost be sneaky with the illness and kind of sneak in more than I should be doing. Like this show, for example, you know, it's almost like I'm trying to cling on to the old life that I had by utilizing elements of my old life in doing this show, you know, and I kind of feel like, I'm still not 100% accepting, because I almost equate full acceptance with full giving up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it isn't giving up though. As you'll you'll hear my tone in a short while. But for me, I find that writing my poems and blogs, it gives my life meaning. I felt like I'd lost a purpose. I'd lost a purpose in life. I didn't know what to do with my life. I had written some poems before I became ill, but I was only wasn't until I started to settle into the illness, but start to get used to being ill. But I found that it helped me to express how I was feeling and to express how others were feeling. It helped me to cope with the illness. I know not everybody can do that, you know, but it's my way of coping. It's how I found a way through and get myself sane. So, it, you know, over the years, I've perhaps got better at writing. I don't know whether my poems are better now than at the beginning, but certainly. And I don't write, it's not like I write every single day. It's when brain cells are working, because as you know, brain fog is one of the symptoms of ME. And sometimes, you know, there's nothing there. It's just like cotton wool. But some days I have inspiration, and then on those days I, you know, it can flow out of me. And I have my own, you know, system and way of writing poems. And also I've taken to writing other poems as well, because that's the pleasure. I enjoy it, and I have to say I get a lot out of it. And it's helped me to cope, it's helped me to. It's almost like I've reinvented myself a little bit. I mean, I never thought, if you told me, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, that I'd end up writing poems and publishing books and writing blogs, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd have thought, no, that's not me.
That's really, there's something beautiful about that. It feels to me, again, coming from a position of a fighter, that you've got one over on the illness, because you've actually kind of taken this change of circumstances, this new reality, and made something very wonderful out of it.
Yeah, because I can no longer do those things that I used to enjoy, like, you know, going out for a long walk, hiking, cycling, swimming, playing tennis, going out dancing or whatever, clubbing, going to pubs. All those things have had to stop. So you've got this emptiness, this hole, if you like, and you've got to fill it up with something. And I just, you know, I can't just sit and do nothing, or sit and watch television all day. For me, it's just me, but I had to find something to fill that void, if you like, replace the things that I can no longer do. There's the things that I can do, and this is something that I've found that I can do, which I enjoy.
That's a wonderful and hopeful message that I'm sure people who are maybe struggling at the moment, that will mean a lot to them, I think, because I think reorganizing and then establishing what's going to be the new joy in my life, that can make a huge difference. That really can, I think.
Yeah, and I do like to help other people. That is my personality as well. You know, I was doing that before I became ill. I was a full time union rep, and I like to help other people. I was always helping other people, and so this still feels like I'm helping others. If my poems help not just the people who are ill, but those people who have friends or family, or even, you know, I don't know anybody who, or doctors, or anybody who reads my poems will get an idea of what it means, what it feels like to suffer the long-term chronic illness like ME. Some of my poems you could actually use could apply them to other chronic illnesses. You know, although I write them specifically ME in mind, they could also apply to other illnesses. You know, some of them are fairly general.
Yeah, I think that you really struck me with something you said there. I completely agree about, I mean, this illness can be so isolating. And I think it's really important to have identification with people. And I think your poems really do help people think, wow, that's how I feel. And just some days, if you're so ill, you can't get out of bed and you can't get off the sofa and you can't make a phone call and you can't send a text message. Having identification in that moment, I think, can be massive. It can have a huge effect on you. And I think that, you know, your poems give people a voice as well. We're known as the millions missing, you know. And I think you'll know, as whenever you were a union rep, one of the deepest frustrations and something that can lead to such anger and resentment is just not being listened to and not being heard.
Absolutely.
And I think that's great.
The one thing that I did come across in this last May, I decided to, for May awareness, I decided to share one of, from the book, I'd shared it, one poem each day. But it was very difficult for me to do, I have to say. It was much harder than I anticipated. And I did suffer after, but it was worth it. But I did come across some people found that they didn't want to be reminded of how ill they felt. They didn't want to read my poems. They didn't want to, you know, not everybody was glad to say, yes, I know what you mean. That's exactly how I feel. I don't feel alone because I know that others feel the same as me. But I had some negative feedback in that people said, well, no, I don't want to be reminded of how I feel. But the thing is, I try in my poems to be as honest, open as possible. And I'm writing about the reality. I'm not writing some fiction, some nice little poem, you know. Some of my poems are perhaps a bit more positive, a bit more, you know, upbeat. But what is the point of writing about, you know, covering it up, glossing it over? I want people to know how I have suffered, how other people have suffered. I have some really good friends that I've made on Facebook who are so ill that they cannot get out of bed. You know, I'm not as ill as that, but, you know, I suffer enough and I see how others suffer. And I try to communicate that suffering in my poems. And some people, unfortunately, don't like that. But, you know, sometimes the truth hurts, and that's what I'm trying to get across.
And I think you do really well. If we talk about then that, the book that is currently sitting right in front of me over here in Ireland, 31 Days in May.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that book, why you decided to create that collection at that time.
Well, I've already had a few short poems that I've written, and I find short poems that, you know, a quick and easy to do, and they get across a quick and easy, simple message.
Mm.
And so I've had this idea back at the beginning of the year, maybe to try to do something different for ME Awareness Month. And I thought that this year I would do something, I would publish a small book with short poems, and I contacted Invest in ME Research because I wanted their support, and I wanted another thing that I decided to do was to donate all the sale of my books to the charity Invest in ME Research. And so when you look at the book, the foreword was written by one of the volunteers to invest in any research. And I chose this charity, and I have all my books. All of my books, a percentage of the sales go to invest in any research. But this particular one, I decided to donate all the sales to invest in any. And this charity, that it's only a small independent UK charity, but they do a lot to, it's run by volunteers, patients or parents of children with ME. They're not paid, but they do a lot towards biomedical research in ME, and also into the education of lots of different people from lots of different groups, healthcare, the media, government, patients, and I felt that this was important to also support this small charity. And so I was very pleased when they agreed to write the foreword for me. So I've had quite a lot of feedback. I posted one poem each day as well on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It took some doing.
I find it difficult to post. You know, whenever you have a show like this, you have to keep up a certain amount of momentum. And I find it really hard to come up with one tweet a day. So I've no idea how you did that across all those platforms. My hat's off to you. Well done.
Well, I planned it, and I took my time doing it, and I rested before and afterwards. And then at the end of the month, I thought, no, that's it now. I'll have a little break, you know. I mean, I did, while I was doing it, I did increase my pain levels. Had to put support on my wrist because my wrist was become really painful, and like down to my arm and my shoulders. And so, yeah, I had to take up the painkillers and, the pain treatment. At the end of the day, I did it for a purpose, I wanted to, I wanted to make a difference. You know, at the end of the day, I want to make a difference. I want to help others, and so that's why I'm prepared to suffer a little bit myself for that cause.
And we thank you for it. And anybody interested in this book we're talking about, again, it's 31 Days in May. There'll be a link to the book and all those other ways that you can get in touch with Roz in the show notes. And we'll go over them at the end of the show as well, the end of the chat. So if you're interested in buying this book or getting hold of it, look in the show notes and you'll find out how to do that. Just to finish talking about the book.
Can I just intervene there just to say I have other books that I've published as well. Are you aware of them?
Oh no, I'm not. What other books have you got out?
Right. I will send you the information. But my first one was called My A to Z of ME.
Mm.
I did that in 2013. The second one was called So Many Symptoms. That was completed in 2017. And then I did a compilation of not just poems about ME, but poems about people and things that have happened in my life. And that it's called Life, Love, Loss, and A Lot More. And that one had photos. And then I did a simpler version without the photos called Life, Love, Loss, and A Little More.
Oh, brilliant.
But this is my fourth, well, if you include the two editions of one book, I've actually published five books.
Oh, fantastic. And I will be pursuing the, tell me a little bit then about the A to Z. That sounds fascinating. The first book.
the A to Z, it was perhaps one of the first poems I ever wrote. Basically, my A to Z of ME went through all these emotions and areas under, basically from A to Z. I can read you an extra poem if you like. I can read that now.
Yeah, let's go for it, definitely.
Okay, right. So the first word is obviously, you know, I go through the alphabet. So angry, since I feel my life has all gone. Bored, as endless days go on and on. Crying when no one can understand me. Depressed because of this illness ME. Exhausted after every effort I make. Frustrated by those who believe I'm a fake. Grieving for everything that I have lost. Happy to find new friendship at no cost. Isolated from a world that used to be mine. Jealous of all those who can have a good time. Kindness from others who suffer the same. Loss of so much and looking for blame. Miserable with no ending that is in sight. Nightmares strange and real that give me a fright. Optimistic one day someone will find a cure. Pain is strong and so hard to endure. Questions, so many that have no answer. Rest and rest, hoping to feel better. Sensitive to so many things around me. Terrified by symptoms that people can't see. Understanding, why is it so hard to explain? Value my life, though nothing is the same. Worry because my body feels so weak. XRMV, for this is a clue we seek. Yearn to be healthy and to have some fun. Zombie instead, what I become. There you go.
Thank you very much. That was a little extra bonus poem we got. Thank you. What I really like about your poems, and genuinely, I really enjoy them, and I will be buying those other books myself, and I'd encourage listeners to do the same. What I really like about them is, you've covered it in this conversation, it's the reality of it. Whenever I read the 31 Days in May, you've got 31 poems in there. And a lot of them, it kind of almost sums up my day or my month or my experience of ME as well. Because much like that poem you just read, a lot of it is to do with pain and anger and sadness of a life lost and frustration and obviously extreme exhaustion and a feeling of uselessness. And then there are peaks of aggressive challenging and peaks of optimism and hope and then peaks of gratitude for what I have still and what I have received as a bonus, as a positive, whilst all this other stuff was going on. So I think you really do capture the life of an ME sufferer very well.
Well, I hope so. That's my intention, you know. I know not everybody, you know, is a fan of poetry, but I find it a useful, simple way to put into words, you know, how I feel and how others feel. And because sometimes, actually, in fact, my close friends, when they've read my poems, they get concerned about me because they think, oh dear, does she feel really that bad? And I say, well, sometimes I do, but I'm also expressing how people that are severely ill, the people with severe ME, how they feel. I have a sense of how bad it can get because sometimes I have severe periods. I have periods, you know, when I can't get off the bed or I can't get out of bed, you know, I have to go. But mine goes up and down. I'm not in the severe end of the scale. I'm not severe all the time. But I do have friends who have severe ME. And I have seen, they have expressed their despair, their frustration, you know, their anger. And I feel it, and I try to, I literally do sometimes use their words put into my poems. So I'm speaking for other people and not just for myself. Well, that's what I hope I'm doing.
Absolutely. And I love then that in a very, very real sense, you are carrying on that life that you once had as a union rep, aren't you? You're repping other people now. And I think there's something really wonderful about that, that you've come through this new reality of your life, but you've come through still as Roz. You know, we don't stop being ourselves, right?
You don't lose that person that you really are. You know, your personality, your likes and dislikes are still there. So some of my poems I've written, and you know, I've used the, some of them I've got the theme of things like Star Trek. Well, because I've always, throughout my life, loved Star Trek. So I try to twist, you know, the poem into some of the words, which are the, you know, the phrases that come out of Star Trek.
Yeah, I thought as much. Are you excited about the new Picard show?
Yeah, I've heard good and bad reports, so I'll wait and see, make my mind up. But each time there's a new Star Trek series, there's always some, you know, people who say, oh, it's no good, it's not going to be any good. But, anything to do with Star Trek, I like.
I agree. I think Star Trek has a consistently high level. You know, it's still going to be, I think, TV worth watching, and I love the values and the ethos around Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I like, the values and the ethos. And if it's not all about, you know, let's chase the bad guy, then let's shoot him down. You know, it's nothing like that. It's how I hope the world would be in many years to come.
I completely agree. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you there. I really am. Okay. Well, look, to wrap up then, how are you doing at the moment? You said that you're not a permanently severe situation. It sounds like you're probably quite similar to me. How do you maintain consistency, or do you maintain consistency at the moment?
You have to learn to know your limits, to know what you can do and what you can't do, to know that if you can't always plan everything in life, because there's always going to be situations that arise and, you know, they're unexpected. But I live a simple, quiet life, and I go out very little, and if I do, it gives people with assistance, and I, you know, you rest up before, you learn how to rest up before, you learn how to prepare, you learn how to rest afterwards. I do the best I can to eat healthily and, you know, take vitamins and supplements and so forth. And I have a lady that comes in to help do my housework, so I don't, you know, I can't, there are a lot of things. I only live in a little house, but I still, you know, there's a limit to what I can do. I need, you know, do the basics. So I have somebody to come help me. And you manage like that, you know, and I have to do online shopping, and it does get frustrating sometimes, because I'd like to go out and do more, and I have invitations and I have to turn them down. That's disappointing and frustrating. So I live in a very quiet, peaceful area, so that helps enormously. I chose to stay in France because it's a quieter, slower pace of life here. Better for your health generally, I think. Away from the big towns, there's less pollution and there's less of everything. So it's the life that I found that suits me and, you know, my limitations of my illness. And that's how I've, you know, learned over the years. It takes a long time to learn how to live with this illness, live with any chronic illness, I think. and to learn yourself, to know yourself, what you can do, what you can't do. And yes, I suppose that's where I've got to, really. Well, and having a nice cat helps as well.
Hear, 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 hear. I completely agree. A nice cat helps any situation, you know.
Yeah, that's pets do, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the question I ask most people, I think, who come on the show, do you have hope for the future then?
Hope? I think there's always hope. I have written one poem called Hope. I think you have to live with a certain amount of hope, because otherwise, if you don't have any hope, you're going to end up getting very depressed. I think you have to have an element of hope, and hope that one day something will happen, something will change, that there'll be a breakthrough, and you'll be validated. People will then say, oh, well, so you really were ill all that time then, you're not making it up, it's not in your head. Because that's the sort of thing I had at the beginning, the family and, well, not such friends, but family, didn't believe me, and doctors didn't believe me. And so I hope that one day everything, there is something is found, something is, I know there is all the while there are things that there are small studies, there are developments and so forth, but I hope in my lifetime, because I'm getting on a bit, pushing the daisy thing, I hope in my lifetime that that the cause, maybe more than one cause, I believe there's probably more than one cause, I think there's possibly more than one type of ME, but I hope that, there's more clarification and better support, better understanding, and maybe a simple cure. We can all hope for that, but in the meantime we have to learn to live with this, and each of us, we're all different, and we survive in our own different ways, I believe, and this is how I managed to keep myself going anyway.
I think that's really wonderful, and I think I love the idea of the hope of a promise of validation, I think, is absolutely, I think that's going to stay with a lot of people, what you just said.
Yeah.
How can people get in touch with you? How can they follow your work, and where can they buy the five books that you have published?
I have a page on Facebook, My A to Z of ME on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but most of there's more information on Facebook. I have a blog. My blog, you can see the links to my blog from my page as well. And on my blog, there are information about my books and myself. My books are available on Amazon throughout. Lots of different countries throughout the world. I couldn't tell you what countries, but certainly many countries throughout the world. It's available in paperback and Kindle edition. And my brain's beginning to go now. the first book is in my name. I think the other books are in the name of the French Femme. So you can search for the French Femme. That is my nom de plume. And I do try to write a blog at least once a month. And when I write my blogs, I try to include one of my poems. I try to write my blogs around my poems. So if you're missing any links, Paddy, I can give them to you later.
Absolutely, yeah. All that stuff, folks, if you're listening, and that'll all be in the show notes, so you can just scroll down or click the screen and you'll be able to follow all the links to all the places. And look, I really recommend you do. I'm going to be going out and buying the other books, because I genuinely enjoy them and I got genuine identification. So I really recommend other folks do the same. Roz, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Me.
And do you reckon you've got one more poem in you before
Well,
you go?
I'll finish with the poem Acceptance, which we have touched on, the idea of acceptance, which is one of my favourites. And it was also a favourite of, I had an uncle who also wrote poems. And he was very ill, but he didn't have any, but he had a chronic illness. And he also said this was his favourite. So I'm reading it for him as well. Okay. To say this illness I accept is such a very hard concept. To accept my life has to change. To accept it can't stay the same. To accept how I must now live, try not to be negative. To accept my limitations, to lower my expectations. To accept I need to take care. To accept energy is rare. To accept I need to have rest. Pace myself and do what's best. To accept new ways of coping, find better understanding. To not be demanding on me, reject those feelings guilty. To accept help on a bad day, be honest in what I say. To accept I'll have some bad days, and to feel denial and rage. Stop fighting against my fate. Stop my anger and my hate. To again find myself grieving from all that life I'm now missing. To accept does not mean defeat. To know this illness I will beat. To accept is not giving in, but hope one day this fight I'll win. To accept, heart goes to ME. To know it can't take the real me. I wish I could say I accept. It is such a hard concept.
Rose Le Marchand, the French femme, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Paddy.
Okay, and we're back. So, obviously, a huge and massive thank you to Rose for coming on the show and being generous with her time and energy because, you know, as you folks know, as I know very well, our energy, and I really appreciate this, our energy is so limited, whether you count it in spoons or you count it in, you know, time you can spend with your family and loved ones or kids or watching television, however you measure your time, I know it has to be measured and because it is limited. So when anybody comes on the show, I am massively grateful because I know what that means. I know that coming on to chat in this show, to share their experience, I know that means they're sacrificing something else, you know, because they just don't have the spoons. So thank you to all guests and thank you to Roz for coming on, sharing her experience, her poetry, and her message of acceptance and hope. I was thinking about whenever we were talking, she was talking about acceptance and listening to her poem about acceptance as well. And I think that It's like, you know, have you ever been on some sort of like, you know, a long-term journey, like a spiritual journey or a physical journey or something like that? You know, we're all looking after ourselves or trying to improve ourselves one way or the other these days. And, you know, whether it's through, you know, recovery from addiction or taking a course in yoga or CBT. You look back and you see like a year ago, you're much better than where you were a year ago, but you also realize that you've got a long way to go by the very fact that even a year ago you thought you were doing well. Now a year later, you're doing even better, but that makes you realize it's an ongoing journey. And I think that's my case with acceptance. Roz summed it up really well. And the amount of the humility and the honesty that is required, and it's a very difficult thing to do, is to accept this illness. I'm nowhere near it. I'm better than I was a year ago. But then again, I know that's not saying a heck of a lot. I continue to overdo it. So I was thinking about this and just how whenever I'm having, as I said in the intro, the kind of the month that I'm having. So what I've decided to do is to make the show fortnightly now. instead of weekly, but to actually stay. It's practically fortnightly already, isn't it, if we're even that lucky? So this shouldn't be a significant change for avid listeners out there, talking of humility. For anybody still listening at this point, that probably won't be that much of a change, but they will be fortnightly. And I see, seeing this, I don't see it really as a negative. It means that I can pretty much guarantee, I think, he says, now I can pretty much guarantee a show every 2 weeks. But what it does mean is that it's much more likely that there will be a guest on that show, and it won't be, you know, occasionally it will be just me if I've come across something interesting that I think is worth sharing on the show. But I think a lot of times it'll be, we'll have a guest, and there are guests aplenty already lining up. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to move fortnightly is so I can accommodate all these people and make time for them, because it just has, yeah, there's, I'm wonderfully, and I hope humbly, grateful to say that there's so many people have got in touch saying they'd like to be on the show and share their experience, that I'm really touched. I really am. So I want to make sure I get to those people, and I figured going fortnightly, that means I allow myself a week to record a show. You know, we do it in one sitting. If you're interested in coming on, you know, we do it in one sitting, but that pretty much, you know, it zaps me as much as it zaps the guest. And so I find it very difficult to record a show and edit that same show in the same week. So, you know, going to go fortnightly, but my thinking is that means we're going to have more guests more regularly on the show. Let's wait and see what happens in 2 weeks. You know, I think it's a challenge that is achievable. I really do. So if you'd like to come on the show and be one of those people, you're more than welcome. Even if you're not a writer or a poet. Gasp. I don't know what it is. I think I can say that my next guest will be a writer. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be, this show has become the turtleneck hangout Seattle coffee shop of writers with ME, and I'm absolutely grand with that. But you know, if you've never put pen to paper, that's absolutely grand. It'd be lovely to hear from you. That is not a prerequisite for coming on the show, that you have written a poem or a book inspired or featuring somebody with ME. I'd love to hear from you. Your experience is the story that we're here to listen to. So if you'd like to come on the show, you'd be very welcome. You can get in touch with the show on email. It's really not all about me at gmail.com, or on Twitter at zero all about me. Those are in the show notes. And in the show notes as well is the link to Roz Lamorcheron's creative Facebook output page. So click on that and it'll take you to a link to the blog she mentioned, also ways where you can purchase all the books that she mentioned. And John, honestly, I'm not just kidding about that, because Roz was on the show. I'm gonna get those books next time I have a little bit of spare cash lying around. I think they're really good. They're really good, great poems, and they really spoke to me. So very grateful for her coming on and sharing her experience and through poetry. Till next time, though, whenever I think we'll probably have a guest, and it'll be in 2 weeks' time. If you see me on Twitter, stop and say hi, and take care of yourselves and each other. Cheers.